Welcome back to hour two of the playground. As you've heard, we play wrestling themes when we come back every time. I don't believe there's never been a time we haven't had wrestling themes as our comeback music. Why? Because we're big wrestling fans. My name, Josh Zinke. Yes, this is all we're talking about for the next hour. So
you just made the list.
If you're not the biggest fan of wrestling, guess what? You need to listen. You need to listen.
We got two words for you. Listen in.
Listen in. And then that's Matt Misler. He remains. Tonio has left the building. Not a wrestling fan. I'm not mad at you for not being a wrestling fan. But I just kind of was setting this up yesterday, and I'm like, you know who I should bring on? You know, Crash.
Yeah.
Crash, are you there?
I am there. What's up, guys?
Crash, you can you give your real name just so that way they don't think you're Dave? You're Crash from 97.1.
Yeah.
Are you him? Who are you? Just tell us who you are.
My name is Michael Pickett. I used to work there at the station, now work in Illinois. But yeah, what's up, guys?
No, what's going on? How you been? Been good?
Been okay. It's okay. Boring out here. I miss it out there, but you know.
Right. And you're going to be in town very soon, I do believe, next month?
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. What?
That's Michael Pickett. We call him Crash because, well, he likes to crash vehicles.
It's a long story.
Yep. We're not going to talk about that here. Matt Misler. Miz, what was your wrestling name that we gave? Was it just the Miz?
We went double M with it when we did our podcast.
Okay, double M, Crash, and I was called Baked Potato.
We still don't know why you were called Baked Potato.
I have no idea why. I do have a Twitter. It's at Baked Potato, as with an E. I don't know if it's even active.
It probably is, because I still get emails about our podcast Twitter account with mine, so I'm like, I don't even remember the login for it.
And Ira Weintraub, who runs the station, knows we're wrestling fans. He says you got to have a media guest per show. So we have Matt Durr from MLive. He's not here for me. He's not like – I didn't ask him because I knew he's a wrestling fan. That's the only real reason. It's not like anyone okayed that. You're going to be watching the Rumble.
Oh, absolutely.
You sure? How many people you have coming over partying?
So I'm actually going to a buddy's house.
What?
I'm not hosting the party this year, yeah. With two kids running around the house, makes it kind of hard to – organize a wrestling party, so I'm going to someone else's house tonight.
All right. All right. Miz, you'll be watching, right?
Yep, I'll be watching it from the comfort of my own home.
All right. In a party, you going to have people over?
Probably not.
Your parents going to watch with you?
No, probably not. They're probably just going to lay them out and just go to bed early or something.
All right. And then Michael Pickett, will you be watching tonight?
I will be indeed. I've paid my $9.99. I've got my network subscription back up. I've got the two computer screens going so I can watch it while I'm complaining about it on the internet. I'm good to go.
$9.99.
All right, so Cruiserweight Division, obviously they put something on the card. Why? We don't know. Well, we do know the real reason they did is because they fired one of their wrestlers. Enzo Amore was let go over allegations that he did something wrong. And instead of, I guess, because he didn't tell WWE about it, they fired him. Am I correct about this? Matt Durr, you're a media. You're one of these media types. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he knew about it. Enzo knew about it in October, and instead of telling the company, he hid it. So the company put, like, the Cruiserweight Championship on him and did all this media stuff, and then they come to find out he's under investigation, and that sounds like it's the real reason he got fired, not because they think he did anything wrong, but because he hid a police investigation. So,
but don't most police investigations investigate you at work as well, and maybe shouldn't they have known without him having to tell?
I think with something like pro wrestling, they're on the road so much, it's kind of hard for the Phoenix police to show up in Sioux Falls for a Monday Night Raw taping and say, hey, we need to talk to Enzo. So, it just sounds like the company just wanted him to be upfront with him, and he didn't do that, so they had to let him go.
And they put the belt on him for some time. Miz, are you upset with Enzo Amore no longer being a part of WWE?
I think the big thing about it is the whole having to change so many different storylines to go with it. I mean, obviously, he had dealt with some kind of illness where it had prolonged a title shot that he was supposed to, defend his title, and then that put a damper on things. Then they were supposed to re-up it again, do something to go along with it. Then he sprained his ankle or he did something in a match in his defense where he ended up losing, but he retained the title. And then it was like, okay, so is he on the shelf for a while now that his ankle is shot? Then they kind of prolonged that again. We're like, okay, well, he lost, but he still has the title, but he's going to defend it at the big pay-per-view, the Royal Rumble. Well, then obviously this comes in. So now you've got a storyline that had to be backed up some more, and now it's like, okay, just crumble up this entire thing and let's just throw it out. Let's do something different, and it has nothing to do with the title being put on the line anywhere.
All right, Crash, is wrestling real?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay, and
it's real to me, damn it.
So it's three guys with masks versus three guys without masks. Obviously, that's a way to kick off any show. You saw them on 205 Live. Obviously, their whole, like, what they're planning to do with anyone is kind of all on hold because they had the Zotrain, which they're not even going to mention anything about him. They've cut him out of everything but the Mixed Match Challenge commercials. He's still on those. But obviously, he won't be fighting in those as well.
Well, there was some statement that Daniel Bryan put out, like that Enzo Amore has relinquished his title and is no longer with the company, I thought.
I saw him start 205 Live when he said, we're going to have a new general manager.
And yeah.
He or she will address all the questions of what's going on with the championship.
Right.
But a lot of the storylines are now just garbage because of it.
It's just, hey, just so that you guys aren't left off the card, here's just a random six-man tag.
Right, and pretty much they had part of it. TJP still, that's the only storyline I see right now, which is him losing to everyone and getting upset about it. But he's really horrible at it.
He's like that rage, like, he's just like that rage quit video gamer. I mean, his whole concept is like being a millennial is what it is, just like upset about everything, or Gen Z guy, you know?
Right. And it goes over horrible. At least I
just think. Just give him a Tide Pod and just let him be happy. Give him a Tide Pod and let him be happy.
Crash, are you excited about this match? And what's your prediction on three guys with masks versus three guys without masks?
You know, I'm not excited about this one at all. I'm actually really glad it's on the kickoff show there. As far as a prediction goes, I'm going to go with the masks over the not masks.
All right. And this is brought to you by Mountain Dew as well. Miz, your thoughts on this matchup? How excited? Will you even watch it, or will you just wait?
I'm probably just going to just like take a look at Twitter and just see how the results end up with this match. I do kind of like the fact that they're tying in the luchadors all together.
Yeah, I do too.
I like that. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I've got no interest in this match whatsoever. But
right.
If I were to pick, give me the luchadors.
All right, Matt Dury, your thoughts on this match? You're going somewhere. Will you just be about 15 minutes late, less than that, to get, because obviously you know what's going to start it?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch the kickoff at all. I'm not interested in really any of the matches on the kickoff. But I think I really like Drew Gulak, so I'm hoping they maybe give him a little bit of a push here and let him
make 205 great again.
Yeah, exactly. I doubt they will. I'm going to guess the Luchadors win, but in my heart I hope Drew Gulak's on top.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys. He doesn't look like a wrestler whatsoever, but he comes across the screen maybe is like a little bit arrogant, but the PowerPoint is awesome. And I've seen him. So you've seen him on 205 Live. Enzo Amore, I followed him on Instagram. And actually, when they were in Texas, Drew wore like a bolo tie and wore the whole getup. And I was like, that's hilarious for a guy who was that funny off the screen, and he tries to come across with that on. And he was one of those, he had that. So maybe he becomes the new general manager. You guys okay with that if he's the new general manager of 205 Live?
Crash?
I think it'd be hilarious, but I don't know.
I don't think it would be. I think you keep him. Well, I mean, I guess it would be okay. I mean, it keeps him relevant with 205, but I don't know. I think you kind of go in a different direction with the whole leadership for it.
Yeah, I think they need a big name. If they're serious about making 205 Live a traveling part of the company, they need some sort of name with a credibility.
Like Goldust?
Yes, exactly. Because when I think of High Flying, I think Goldust.
And then also Rich Swann, all the stuff that happened with him.
It's the curse of the 205 Live Cruiserweight Championship.
And that's what I told you. I told you that. Everyone that's either had it has had an injury or something's bad. They've done something bad while holding the belt.
Yeah, since what? Since TJP.
Yeah. But obviously Swan was cleared of all charges, so will he be back?
If he is brought back, not right away. I don't think he'll be back until later in the year once, you know, kind of like what they did with Paige where, you know, you kind of, even though she was essentially almost basically cleared from her injury stuff, They waited and waited and waited. When she finally came back, no one remembered all the off. Well, I guess on camera stuff, but just not the televised on camera stuff. But I think eventually, I think maybe later on this year, maybe right around like SummerSlam time, he might be brought back.
Miz, I don't know what you mean.
I don't know what I'm talking about either.
All right, so we're through that match. I won't be watching this whatsoever. I'm sure I'll watch the replay when they show 205 Live. They'll show what happens. If there's any kind of storyline that comes out of it, Jack Gallagher, I liked him when he was in Royal Rumble last year, right? He showed up with the umbrella and ended up winning, right? No, that was Randy Orton. Kind of same looking guy.
Yeah, close enough.
And obviously, yes, they need something to add to them before they kind of go their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Go their own way. All right, so we have Gallows and Anderson.
Too sweet.
Also with DX behind them, right? Is that now they're all one team and they're all fighting for the same thing?
I don't think they're on the same team. I think it was just one night only.
Versus the Revival, and they were going to promise something big, and then, 2 weeks later, they were jobbers. Was that just because of what was happening, and they had to put something on that for the people in Manhattan Center for Raw 25, or is the Revival for real?
I think that's what it was just something to put on the screen. I mean, you and I had talked about this off the air during the week, that it was a really weird way that they set up the 25th anniversary of Raw. That you had like 90 minutes worth of actual, like, you know, relevant material that was played over at the Barclay Center. Then you had random appearances at the Manhattan Center, and you had a couple of matches here and there. I mean, they had a couple of, you know, they had one storyline based one with Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy.
Yep.
Woken, stay woke. Other than that, everything else was irrelevant. You had a 205 Live match. And then you had this match that's basically just a continuation of what happened, being the club versus the Revival. To be honest with you, I think it was just filler, because, you know, because you had DX and you had the Click and you minus Kevin Nash, and then you had, you know, the Balor Club showing up as well. I mean, thinking by having all those together, then having the jobbers, the revival jobbing, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. But
and you know that in 10 years, they're going to re-show that, you know, that happening. They're always going to be a part of it. And it's something, every once in a while, it's okay to be a jobber. Meaning, go in there and take all those moves, you can say that, hey, you know, X-Pac did the Bronco Buster on me. I don't know, you know, like one of those things. You can say that.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't. And even if it's just for a squash and be a jobber. But your guys' thoughts on this. Is there any kind of special appearance? I know it's the kickoff show we're still discussing. Would maybe some guy named Jackson, maybe his brother, show up and maybe help Gallows and Anderson? You guys think any kind of special appearances before we get to the main show?
I mean, maybe Finn makes an appearance, but that's about it. I don't think it's really going to be that big of a thing.
Durr, you have any?
No, I think it's just going to be a squash. I think the Revival's on this track right now where they've... every time they get going, one of them gets injured, and I think WWE is just going to make them prove that they can stay healthy and on the road for a few months before anything exciting happens with them. So I think the Balor Club is kind of on the upswing here.
All right, and then Crash, your thoughts on this matchup? Who do you have winning, and will you watch this one? It's the kickoff show.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this one because I think it could be a really good match. I think Gallows and Anderson are going to come away with that one, but I would like to see them give the Revival a good match. And I think people are kind of, you know, wary about this because, you know, remember when, you know, Ascension came up from NXT and then they got squashed in a kind of similar manner to what we saw with the Revival on the 25th show. You know, I would like to see a good matchup here. And, you know, you need something for the kickoff show as well. And I think this could be a really good match, something to really, you know, get people interested in the show and get them going here. And I think it's one of those ones that has potential, but I think, you know, Gallows and Anderson going to take it. And I think, you know, it's right. I think they're going to have the Revival have to prove themselves again here before they really start to give them a push again.
All right. Both guys named Matt. Can you guys just say you're over top of each other? Can you guys both pick your winner? Go now. Both of you at the same time.
Gallows and Anderson.
And Anderson.
A little slower, Miz. I need to be faster on that.
I'm sorry. I only had one cup of coffee in me.
All right. Let's go to our last kickoff show match. It's a United States Championship. It's Bobby Roode, no relation to Rick, He's taking on TBA. I've never seen this wrestler yet, TBA.
I've seen Vacated.
Is it Terry Bradshaw Associates?
No, I don't know. I mean, I've seen Vacated. He's just like a faceless.
True.
He's just a faceless individual. I wonder if he's a luchador.
Yeah,
but.
I think Vacant and TBD or TBA were a tag team in Japan for many years.
You gotta watch out for them.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they've never held the belts, but they've always shown up. Or not. So who will actually Ruby taken on in the U.S. Open Challenge? Crash, you're first.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's a mystery about it. I don't think it's going to be like a big, huge name or anything like that because it is a kickoff show. But, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what TBA brings to the table in this match.
Either of you, either Matt, you don't have to say it over top of each other. You think Dolph Ziggler shows up here?
No, I don't. Not pre-show. I don't think if he were to come back, I think he's more Rumble-esque kind of thing. That's why you put him. You put this match in the pre-show. I think this is going to be a probably something like Baron Corbin or something of that nature. Just some kind of mid-carder.
Yeah, I was thinking Jinder Mahal, or maybe they bring up an NXT guy, just as like a surprise. Here you go. Here's. You know, someone you haven't seen.
Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
and so are we picking TBA or are we going with Bobby Roode to win the championship?
We're going with the Ravishing Bobby Roode.
Oh, totally agree.
Yeah, Crash, your thoughts?
Yeah, same, Bobby Roode.
Yeah, I was hoping this was going to be a bigger thing, kind of lead into the card. And obviously, from you guys, I'm going back away. I thought Dolph, this shows up here, wins the belt again, and somehow gives it up at the same night. Like, that's his gimmick, is he wins the belt but doesn't want to carry it because it's luggage. And so he just always leaves it, and he'll always defend it, though, without actually – because he was the last champion until, obviously, he gave it up. So that's my new gimmick for him. Show up, win it, and then the same night, say, I don't want it.
Then leave it.
All right, let's take our first break, and when we come back, a lot more on the Royal Rumble, which takes place when, Miz?
Tonight.
At?
7 o'clock.
It's brought to you by?
The Sunday Morning Playground.
Boom.